I said earlier that we've come to the end of Lent. Really, Lent ends tomorrow evening, right before the Mass of the Last Supper. So we're not at the end yet, but this is the last Lenten Mass here in this chapel. In fact, it's the last Lenten Mass. The Chrism Mass is a special exception. In many places, the Chrism Mass will be tomorrow morning in the cathedral. In this diocese, it's tomorrow morning at 7. In my diocese in Arminos, it's at 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's why I have to leave immediately after this Mass. Anyway, we get to the end, and this is the third of these 3 days between Palm Sunday and Holy Thursday. Father Francis used to call it a little triduum. And if you think about that, this little triduum as a whole, you see how heavy it is, because Judas keeps showing up. On Monday, we had an opportunity to compare Judas with Mary of Bethany, right? Mary, the one who was pouring herself out, and Judas, the one who was taking. Yesterday, the comparison was between Judas and Peter. Judas, the wicked one, the betrayer, and Peter, the weak one. He didn't want to betray him, but he fell because he was weak. But in today, the third of the 3 days, Wednesday of Holy Week, we don't get a chance to look at anybody else. Judas is the only one, and it makes this day quite heavy. You might know the traditional title of this day, Spy Wednesday. Spy Wednesday. It's called Judas. Maybe a better term for it would be Betrayal Wednesday, because Judas wasn't just a spy, he was a betrayer. And that's how he's described right here, Judas the betrayer. So we're forced to, not forced, but we're invited to ponder this terrible reality of betrayal. Of course, this is the worst case of it, but it's not the only case. Betrayal is part of human experience. We can all recall moments when we have at least felt betrayed. Someone didn't do what he said he would do, or didn't keep his promise, or exposed us in an unfair way to injustice. Betrayal is a very painful wound. Now, we have to also admit that most of our experience of betrayal is not deliberate. It's usually somebody forgot, or somebody was weak, something like Peter. Somebody was maybe drunk or something. There was some reason why they couldn't fulfill their obligations to us. Still wrong, but... And sometimes it's not a betrayal at all. It's just what we think is betrayal. We just misunderstand what a person's motives were or what happened. But we really feel the wound of it. So that's important to reflect on here, because this is what Jesus takes on. He's the betrayed one. And if we know that feeling of betrayal, we know something, a little bit, of that experience of Jesus in the Passion. To have one of his close followers, someone whom he trusted, who he lived with and ate with and journeyed with and served with, turn him over like a slave sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, we can also reflect on the opposite side of betrayal when we are the betrayers. We don't like to do this, but it's true. Sometimes we don't fulfill our obligations. We don't keep our promises, or we have not been faithful to friends and loved ones. Now, we don't like to identify ourselves with Judas, but Judas didn't like to identify himself either. Remember, right at the table, surely it is not I, Rabbi. The ultimate denial statement. I'm not guilty, not me. And that's what we all do. I'm not a betrayer. Well, yes, you are. Yes, I am. This is Holy Week, and we have to face it. Sin, every sin, is a betrayal. Maybe not of our brothers and sisters, but surely of God, because every sin is a breaking of the covenant we have with God, a violation of our baptismal promises, a betrayal. Now, not all betrayals are the same. I'm not saying we're all Judas in the ultimate sense, because what we see in Judas's case is deliberate, decisive, premeditated betrayal. The worst kind. They say that usually betrayal is somehow influenced. Some people are drunk, they're high, they're so angry, they lose their mind. And you know this in the case of trials, murder trials. If the murderer can claim to have temporary insanity it was not deliberate or not premeditated, then he doesn't get first-degree murder. But if he sat down and plotted the murder, if he connived with others, if he had it written down, if he had the money in his hands, in other words, it wasn't just a spur of the moment, lost his mind a moment, but he really wanted this person to die, then that's first-degree murder. That's the worst. That's Judas. He didn't just lose his mind or lose his way. He deliberately gave in to the temptation, whether it was for the money, that's what it looks like here, just for the money, which it makes it even worse, or if it was because he felt like Jesus was not living up to his expectations, or he felt like he wasn't being treated properly, or whatever he thought, it was still premeditated betrayal. Okay, that makes this the lowest point. You know, Jesus' lowest point in the Passion was in the agony, right? The agony in the garden. Even before he experienced physical sufferings, he experienced profound moral, interior, emotional suffering in the garden. My soul is sorrowful to the point of death. Father, can't you free me from this? That's the low point. So that's Thursday night, but that's where we are in this gospel. And right after the agony is when Judas shows up and kisses him. But that's the worst. But now we don't only focus on the terrible side. We focus on the extraordinary thing that God does with betrayal. And the first thing to notice is the betrayer suffers more than the betrayed. The condition of the betrayer is worse than the one who's betrayed. Jesus is the victim here, but look at what he says. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Woe to the betrayer, not woe to me. It would be better for that man if he had never been born. He's not talking about himself, he's talking about Judas. And this is a fundamental principle of the moral life, that it's worse to do evil than to suffer evil. If we're worse off committing sin than to have sin committed against us. Even the ancient philosophers knew this. Socrates knew this. You're better off having someone do something against you than do it against him. So Judas is worse off than Jesus. Well, that's kind of a philosophical principle, but Jesus takes this to the highest possible level. Not only is Judas worse off than I am, but I'm going to use this low point, this ultimate betrayal, as an occasion for reversing the whole power of sin. We see this in the first reading, one of these great servant songs. Here I am, I'm morning after morning, and the Lord opens my ear, I hear, I don't rebel, I turn my cheek to those who want to strike me, and my back and my face, I don't shield. In other words, I put up with all the wrongdoing. I'm not going to do wrong, but wrong will be done to me, and the Lord God is my help, therefore I'm not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. Well, yes, you are going to be put to shame in the human level, in the natural level, in the temporal level, but ultimately no, because if you don't do wrong, then you are not defiled when people do wrong to you. And Jesus, as I say, takes this to the highest level, reversing the ultimate sin, reversing the power of sin, reversing death itself by taking it on. The Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? No one. Judas is the betrayer, and Judas looks like he has done the worst possible thing to his friend. But in the end, Judas is the loser, and Jesus rises above this evil, using it even for our good. In fact, even for the good of Judas. Listen to what he says at the very end of the gospel, when Judas, in his ultimate denial statement, says, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." Jesus says, "You have said so. It's your decision. I'm not betraying you. You are doing this yourself. This is something you are doing, not to me, but to yourself." As if to say, don't do it. You can still change your mind. It is you who say it, not me. I'm not condemning you. But if you do this, you're condemning yourself. That's where Lent brings us. We're going to see this played out most profoundly, solemnly, in the Great Triduum, which starts tomorrow night. So let us, with the example of Jesus before our minds and hearts, let us reject betrayal and the fear of suffering and the fear of being betrayed. Let us, as the servant says, let us set our faces like flint, knowing that with the Lord we shall not be put to shame.